case number 11,144, Perry and Sheila Stuntman, south of Route 54 Lighthouse Road, east of Spicer Lane, being lot 4 within Mason-Dixon Mobile Home Park, a variance from the separation requirement between units in a mobile home park.
Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Perry Stuntman, 7102 Second Avenue, Queenstown, Maryland.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before I take the stand, I have printed comments.
If you could take that down to Ms. Isaacs on the end, she's...
You don't want a copy?
Well, she inventories everything that comes in.
7.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, gentlemen. I appreciate the time to come before you.
Great.
As we request, my wife and I request the variance of the requirement between units in a mobile home park. And if you all forgive me, I'm a bit under the weather, so hopefully we all can get through this without putting too many people to sleep. I have provided copies of what I'm about to present for each and every one of you. And each of the questions was taken out of the packet of the application for the variance. Okay. Do you wish me to... Oops, sorry, folks. Do you wish me to read the question first? Or should I do a narrative and then you'll ask the questions?
Can you go ahead and explain to us and then we'll go through the variances, then we'll ask you questions.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. First and foremost, at the time that we purchased the mobile home located on Lot 4, otherwise known as 39047 Spicer Lane in the Mason-Dixon Court, Route 54, Fenwick Island, the unit was a 10 by 48 foot trailer manufactured roughly in 1969, and apparently about 20 years later, a 10 by 20 room was added to the side, the northerly side of that trailer. We've been assured at the time that we had taken possession of the roof of the trailer and the add-on room had recently been recoated, therefore should not have should have prevented any moisture leaking through the roof. However, shortly after taking possession and while performing interior modeling during the early months of 2012, there had been several periods of rain, which revealed that the resealing of the roof over the trailer was ineffective. To make matters worse, the roof over the 10 by 20 add-on room was not in much better shape, as water was now leaking through the tongue groove boards that composed that of the ceiling. Rather than taking a Band-Aid approach, which would have been to try to have gone up once more and have recoated, to rectify the unacceptable condition, we decided to build an A-type roof over the trailer and over the add-on roof of the room. My wife also indicated to me at the time that she was interested in raising the existing 10 by 10 wooden patio, raise it up to the level of the doorway into the add-on room to create a porch, but she also wanted it to be screened in, which obviously would have necessitated the roof being extended from the front of the add-on room towards the front of the trailer and also covering the main side entrance. When the building permit was sought, the office personnel instructed that I speak to a building plan approval. The required drawings were generated, submitted, accepted, with the building permit issued on June 15th of 2012. However, at no time did anyone in either office ask about the existing separation, or was it stated that a variance would have been required. Consequently, the roof screened-in porch project on the surface did not appear to present a problem, as the add-on room to which the project would embrace appear to have been in existence for some time. Unfortunately, we were not aware that the current building requirement insists upon a 20-foot separation. With regards to the part B of that question, at this time, it needs to be noted that the Mason-Dixon Court was established in the 1960s, as were a number of other trailer parks in the area. If the add-on room were not present, the separation between the trailers on Lot 3, my next-door neighbor, and Lot 4, us, would have only been 15.5 feet at the front and 17.5 feet at the rear, well within the 20-foot separation now required. It should also be noted the separation between the new trailer immediately to the south of us, which did go through the variance process since the trailer was removed and a brand new trailer was brought in, at the midpoint of both of our trailers is only 16 feet apart. Again, well within the 20-foot separation. In addition, while it would have been more practical to have built an 8-foot wide screen-in porch, vice the 10-foot wide, the proposed 6x6 support posts that were to have been installed outside the forward wall of the add-on room would have been located in the middle of the window of that wall, resulting in the decision to increase the width of the proposed screen-in porch to 10 feet, leaving a mere 3-inch recess from the edge of the longitudinal wall of the add-on room, so that the porch actually does not even come out to the exact measurement of the add-on room, which was installed sometime after the trailer was in place. Possibility of the development. As an option, it can only, as an opinion, it only can be offered in order to fully develop the property referred to as Mason-Dixon Court. According to the existing zoning code, each and every trailer and mobile home would need to have been removed. This is beyond the scope of my interest in Mason-Dixon Court. All right, 2B. Taking into consideration that the separation is, at a minimum, 5.5 feet between the units located on lots 3 and 4, the screen-in porch affords a peaceful space to relax outdoors. The roof leaks are no longer of a consideration. The ability to cool off the interior has been vastly improved. The sun is no longer directly shining on the tin roof and provides an air gap with the addition of the roof, and that the amount of sun playing across the side of the unit located on Lot 3 as it traverses the southern sky during the summer improves that owner's ability to enjoy a savings in utility costs as it enables more reasonable use of the property with construction of the improvements as previously noted. We're getting down to the finish line there soon, sir.
No, don't mind me.
Okay. In regards to has the difficulty been created by the applicant? No. The mobile home has been in the site since the 1960s, and the applicant had no involvement. The applicant had taken possession of the unit in good faith that the add-on room and the main roof had been adequately sealed to prevent water from leaking into the unit. However, shortly after taking possession, as I stated earlier, there were a myriad of leaks noted throughout the unit appearing on the main unit ceiling, in addition to passing through the add-on room ceiling material, which immediately was immediately beyond the control of the applicant. The fact that the add-on room, having been provided a variance in 1989, gave solace that the new project should not have created a problem with the setbacks or separation. It needs to be taken into consideration. The Mason-Dixon Court has been established more than four decades ago, yet the regulation, while it may have been generated to bolster a more wide-open living space, was passed well after the court had been established and should not preclude a unit owner from improving their property as long as it does not infringe upon the morale, the rights, or the livability of its neighbors. Number four, considering the neighbors, okay, the question is, will the variance alter the essential character of the neighborhood? Considering the neighbors and the visitors to other units in the court have commented positively on the addition of the roof and the screen and porch, as the project continued along, if anything, the character of the neighborhood has been improved. B, Excuse me. Will the variance substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use for development of the property? I agree with you. Essentially, to the east of Mason Dixon Court is an apartment house. To the west is the Pembroke Hardware Store. And essentially to the north, or excuse me, to the south of the property is 146th Street. And then, of course, northbound would be Route 54. Again, it would require a complete removal of all the mobile homes if the property were to be redeveloped, and that is beyond the scope of my interest. All righty. Will the variance be detrimental to the public welfare? If anything, with a positive granting of the variance as applied, this project will enhance knowledge of neighboring units within the court and other nearby parks as to what they may need to do for their application. Number five, A, will the variance represent the least modification possible of the regulations at issue? Again, taking in consideration that the units to either side of lot four were from the outset of the court being established in the 1960s and well within the 20-foot separation now required by regulation, it cannot emphatically be stated that any modification of any old mobile home park unit would not be at odds with the current regulation. As for the unit on lot number four, it can be indicated that the current project would represent the least modification. B, is the variance necessary to afford relief? There is no question that the variance is necessary to afford the relief. The applicant lives on a fixed income. We use the place strictly during the summertime. Any outcome other than the issuance of the requested variance would result in both financial as well as a stress-related hardship. C, I need to point out to everybody, is a replication of 5A, so I will skip that.
Okay.
And I would be more than happy to answer, or at least attempt to answer, any questions you may have.
Okay, well, we'll see. Excuse me, are there any questions from members of the board? Mr. Rickards, start with you.
You have a 10-foot front.
I'm sorry,
yard.
Sir.
It's 10 foot in the front yard, wide, 10 foot wide?
It's 10 foot across the front of the original unit, yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there's 20 foot separation, 5 foot from the line, right? About the 35% coverage on the lot, Ms.
I believe the inspector, Dean Malloy, checked that.
Okay. So we're just talking about the separation between
yes.
lots. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Bourbon?
No questions.
Mr. Matthews?
No questions.
Mr. Mills?
Well, I can see you've addressed the standards well. The only question I guess I have is that you haven't changed any of the footprint of the building. You're just making improvements, correct?
Correct, sir.
Okay. Basically repairs.
Needed, very much so.
Okay. Much that's the only question repairs. I have.
Again, I have no further questions either. So hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? One, two. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I think the applicant has addressed the standards well, and certainly to my satisfaction, certainly uniqueness in the situation of a mobile home park limits the ability to do anything, and the only thing the applicant's asking to do is just repair, basically. So I think that the request is necessary to enable reasonable use of the property. Obviously, the applicant didn't create the situation. We didn't hear testimony that would alter the central character of the neighborhood. Or be detrimental to public welfare, and I think he's asking for a minimum afforded relief. So I make a motion that we approve case number 11,144.
Have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve case number 11,144. All those in favor of the motion? Mr. Rickards?
Aye, for the reasons stated.
Mr. Workman?
Aye, for those reasons that were stated.
Again, Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons.
Mr. Mills?
Aye, for my reasons.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reasons that have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,144 is approved.
Gentlemen, thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.